This week we talk about the economics, release plan and experience of the new Peacock service from Comcast NBCU and ask, should they have bought Hulu instead? Let's get started.
To this week's edition of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon joins me from Endscreen Media as always. Hey, Colin, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Will, and I think both of us have just, literally just finished watching the Comcast NBCU big announcement of Peacock. Boy, it was a splendid affair to match Disney and Apple, wasn't it?
Yeah, these investor days certainly seem to be the norm now. They're pulling out all the stops. This was done from SNL's studio at 30 Rock and felt a lot like an upfront presentation. So, yeah, certainly the glitz and the glamour factor has become de rigueur now in these investor day presentations. But we had a little bit of time post the presentation to sort of digest a little bit of what we heard. And we want to give some of our initial reactions in three different areas. We want to talk about Peacock's economics. We want to talk about the release plan. And we want to talk about the user experience as much as we saw it for today anyway. But just to get us started, you are going to do a very quick overview of the facts of Peacock.
I am, and I've got to say that it is, I think everybody would say that it is a pretty bold approach that they're taking with Peacock. Before, there was lots of uncertainty about who is going to get it, who is going to get it for free, who is going to have to pay. Well, that is all now clarified. The short answer is everybody is going to get an ad-supported version of Peacock. It is going to be available on widely on all of the most popular streaming devices. So it'll be available on your phones, on popular streaming media players, and popular smart TVs. So it will be everywhere. And the other piece of news is that there will be a premium tier. And the premium tier will be $4.99 a month with ads and $9.99 a month without ads. There will be, they say, 7,500 hours available in the ad-supported tier and twice that in the premium tier. Now, those people that will get the premium tier for free include Xfinity, pay TV, and broadband customers, and Cox video customers will also get it. And they say that Comcast says, NBCU rather says, that will get to about 24 million people who will have access to the free tier. Everybody that is not paying for ads will be seeing about 5 minutes of ads per hour. And this, again, is very aggressive, and we'll get to the economics of that in just a second. The content that we're going to see in there, well, of course, we're going to see popular shows like 30 Rock and The Office and SNL. They will certainly be there. There will be a raft of originals as well. And perhaps we'll get to that a little bit when we talk about the release plan. And the interesting thing here is that it will be a combination of on-demand and dozens of, quote, Peacock channels, which are regular TV channels. And this will pull from a range of NBCU content. It will, you know, for example, they said that there will be a Saturday Night Live channel, which you will be able to watch anytime you want. It'll be running 24/7. And there'll be a bunch of others. And during the presentation, they must have said at least half a dozen times that we should be thinking of this as a broadcast channel for the 21st century. And because of that, that means that we're actually going to see a variety of content that we haven't seen in a single service before, including news, sports, reality TV, and all the popular genres, including comedy, drama, etc., kids content. So it will be a sort of, I guess, the equivalent of a broadcast channel for the 21st century. So I think that's the thumbnail. Did I miss any big points there, Will?
No, I don't think you missed any key points other than maybe just making sure that we give enough voice to the emphasis that they put on free. We heard probably the word free, I don't know, maybe more than any other single word.
I think that's probably true. And I got to say, it is by far the boldest move by any, quote, classic broadcaster that we've seen. So I think, yeah, if free is what they think is the biggest selling point, I guess it's fair for them to keep mentioning it, right?
Yeah, and then, of course, maybe that's a good transition to talking about the economics, because I think, you know, why is it that they're talking about free, using the word free so much? And I would say that it's mainly motivated by the fact that they're playing serious catch-up ball relative to the rest of the market, and their economics kind of reflect that sense of catch-up ball. So this is a far more complicated discussion to have in detail than we have time for today, but just to touch very briefly on how to compare Peacock Premium with the ad-supported version of Hulu. We see, you know, how Peacock compares from a financial standpoint unfavorably. So Peacock Premium is going to be, as you said, $5 per month, whereas Hulu charges $6 per month. It's also, Peacock is going to have a max ad load of 5 minutes per hour, whereas Hulu's ad-supported version, it's a little bit hard to tell exactly what it is, but you and I think that it's probably somewhere in like the 7 to 9 minute range per hour, give or take, based on what they've talked about publicly. So Peacock's ad load is maybe a little bit more than 50%, call it 60% of what Hulu's is. And so Hulu's economics are obviously better for both sub revenue, they get a dollar extra per month, and they're also much better on ad revenue. And again, if you kind of looked at this, one way of looking at this, I think, is that I was saying almost 2 years ago that I really thought that as part of the whole Disney, Fox, Comcast corporate takeover drama, that even if Comcast backed off from pursuing Fox, that it should have pursued picking up the rest of Hulu that it did not own. And at the time, it did not own about 70%. Instead, it went the other way, and Disney actually bought out Comcast interest. Then they, of course, they inherited Fox's 30% interest. They did a deal with Comcast to, it wasn't an outright sale, it's a staged sale, but ultimately Disney will end up owning it. And then they bought out the AT&T stake, which AT&T had inherited from via Time Warner, the 10% slice of Hulu. That's a very long way of saying that I think it's possible that Comcast could have owned the remaining 70% of Hulu that it didn't own for somewhere in sort of the $12 to $14 billion range, which for Comcast is, it sounds like a lot of money. For Comcast, it's actually not that much money. They subsequently ended up buying Sky for about $40 billion. So relative to Sky, this would have been a fraction of the price, and they would have been able to inherit all of Hulu's economics. So instead of charging $5 a month, they could have charged $6 a month. They could have put the NBC content in there, maybe even gotten away with charging $7 or $8 a month for the ad-supported version. And they would have inherited Hulu's ad model, where they're doing, again, sort of 7 to 9 minutes per show, as opposed to the 5 minutes that they're coming out now for Peacock. So there's that's a lot of numbers to run through very quickly. But the net of it is that I think that Peacock's economics, or how Peacock is pricing their service, is yet another example of how viewers are getting spoiled, or going to be further spoiled, I should say, in what their expectations are. So Disney Plus, again, no ads, is $7 a month. Now Peacock's going to come in with just 5 minutes of ads per hour, and they're going to charge $5 a month. So you could binge The Office and only see 5 minutes of ads per episode. So that makes subscribed viewers feel even better about things. But from an industry-wide perspective, it puts even more pressure on the economics of premium video. So now it's beyond Disney charging $7 per month for no ads and getting everything in the kitchen sink content-wise, to now NBCU putting all of its best stuff into the Peacock premium model and basically only charging $5 a month and only 5 minutes of ads per hour. So those economics, I think, should be somewhat unnerving to the entire industry. And again, why is Comcast and NBCU doing this? Why are they being as aggressive? I think inevitably it comes back to the fact that they're playing catch-up ball.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, if you look at what Disney did, Will, you know, they recognized that they were well behind Netflix, and so they priced extremely aggressively. And I think that we're seeing exactly the same here. Yep. NBCU obviously perceives Hulu as a big competitor, and so it's been extremely aggressive in all dimensions to try and build scale as much as possible. And I think that was something that we heard, another word that we heard a lot, building scale, was obviously really, really critical. And I just want to comment, you made the comment about that they were going to put all their best stuff into the service. Well, Steve Burke actually made a pretty clear statement. He said not everything this company makes is coming to Peacock. So I think they are going to be playing a very delicate balancing act still between their broadcast channels, between their licensing to other SVOD providers. They say they're still going to do some of that as well, and Peacock. But what was very clear in the discussion was that Peacock was what they considered their lead TV service, their lead service with consumers from now on. They talked about a lot about consolidating into that platform.
Yeah, I agree. And just kind of building off of that also, they shared that they're looking to be at about 30 to 35 million Peacock subscribers in 2024. That'll be the break-even year. But on a somewhat underwhelming note, and again, this ties right back to the economics, they're only projecting about $2.5 billion in revenue for Peacock in 2024. And just to put that into perspective, in 2018, the cable segment of Comcast, just within the cable segment, video and broadband revenue was about $40 billion in 2018. So flash forward 5 years, you're talking about $2.5 billion increment on $40 billion in revenue from last year. It's like a 6% or so increment, and they're going to spend the next 4 or 5 years investing heavily in building this business up. It doesn't seem totally, I don't know, it doesn't seem as big news, if you will, as it could have been, like to get to $2.5 billion in revenue after 4 or 5 years on a $40 billion base. So I don't know. What do you make of that?
Well, I think for me, Will, this is one of those things where NBCU, Comcast has really been accused of sitting on their hands in this market for a long time. Nobody can accuse them of sitting on their hands anymore. That's for sure. And one thing I will say also for sure, that there are cannibalistic elements to this. There is no question, I think, that this could have a detrimental effect on negotiations for NBC channels with other pay TV operators because content is showing up here. But, you know, the truth is that they had to do something. They have done something very bold. And I think, you know, when we get into the release plan, I think there's a good chance that they will hit the aggressive numbers that they've talked about in the time frame that they're talking about. So, you know, they had to do something. This is bold, where, you know, the economics certainly look pretty questionable. But boy, I bet if we ran the same numbers for Disney, we might be saying the same things, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure we've been saying the same thing, Colin, and I'd have to go back and look at our Disney numbers, but my sense is Disney Plus revenue in the fourth or fifth year far exceeds $2.5 billion annually. Far exceeds that.
Yeah, sure. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much it exceeds it, but I mean, that's what I'm sort of zeroing in on is, you know, when you use the word bold, how bold is this? Bold is a 6% incremental growth in revenue, and by the time you factor in cord cutting, which is going to be advanced because or furthered because of Peacock being out there, it may be nothing better than a net zero proposition in 4 or 5 years at the top line, never mind the bottom line, which is a whole different story. But anyway, we'll save that. There's going to be more we'll want to say about that in the future. Why don't we quickly transition into some elements of the release plan, what's going to happen this year, and then quickly wrap up with the experience.
Yeah, let's do that. So
the release plan, well, it's if you're a Comcast subscriber or a Cox subscriber, you're going to see the premium version of Peacock show up on your set-top boxes on April 15th. And of course, you'll be getting that for free. So that's all to the good. And there'll be lots of content there for you just to see. And we'll talk about that content in just a second. The rest of us are going to have to wait until July 15th, which incidentally is just before the Olympics. And that timing, I think, is extremely deliberate. And again, we'll talk about that in just a second. So those are the two timings. So on July 15th, the free and the premium version will launch nationally. They are focused primarily today on the US market. They do say they think it will be an international product, although they really didn't want to talk about international at all. There's that, clearly they've not really put much thought behind those releases. They've really focused primarily on the US. What sort of content are we going to find there? Well, we're going to find all of the favorite NBCU shows. And interestingly, Steve Burke said in the Q&A at the end that they may well exercise their option to take back all the shows that they've given to Hulu in 2 years. They have that option, although he didn't commit to doing that. So obviously he wants to see how things are going with Peacock before he says he's going to do that. There is going to be a lot of original content that we'll find in Peacock that we can't find anything else. They said that there was going to be a Kevin Hart show called Heart to Heart. There looks like a big budget show called based on the Aldous Huxley book Brave New World called Brave New World. And various other shows, like there's a reboot of Battlestar Galactica coming. There's an SNL show called Who Wrote That, which looks like a sort of companion show. Lots of comedy, Rutherford Falls, and a soccer comedy called Division One from Tina Fey, and another comedy called Expecting with Mindy Kaling. And oh, there's another comedy called Girls Forever that Tina Fey has written and produced as well for the service. So there is going to be lots of content, lots of news. They're really plumbing their news teams and all of their news channels to really push Peacock forward. I think that's one of the key areas that they want to really leverage. And sports is going to be very important in Peacock. And I said about the Olympics, the timing of the July 15th release is no coincidence. That's right before the Olympics. And this will be a huge driver for the rest of us, I think, to get the Peacock app. There'll be, they said they're going to have 3 or 4 specific shows for Peacock. And given the timing of the Olympics, I think Japan is 17 hours ahead of West Coast and 14 hours ahead of East Coast. So a lot of the action is going to be taking place very early morning for us in the US. And so that being available on a mobile platform, Peacock on a mobile platform, I think is a very, very smart
move. So I think the Olympics is going to get a lot of us loading this app. It'll be interesting to see how they do with news. News is a very popular category online, Will. So I think we're going to see lots of competition for that particular category. But that's it. Looks like a pretty comprehensive launch plan. Big dates again, April 15th. For Comcast subscribers and July 15th for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's a good summary of what the release plan looks like. And you know, from an experience standpoint, what is the release going to be? The experience, again, from what we saw today, we only saw it through Flex, through the app that people who have, who are either broadband or video subscribers would see as in an app environment. It looked really nice. It looked like certainly on a par with, if not even slightly better than what we've seen from the other major SVOD providers. And that's to their credit. And as you pointed out with the content, they're playing strongly to how to feature both live and sports and what you've been watching. And they have some nice ad formats, a couple of which look a little bit familiar from what's already in the market or kind of close to being in the market from Hulu. Another one related to voice, which I don't think they were able to run the demo of, but sounded like it could be pretty interesting. And, you know, overall, it's going to be, as we would certainly expect in 2020, an experience, given the advances that we've seen from other SVOD providers. It's going to be a really nice looking experience.
Yeah, and I got to say, there's one thing, Will, that I have to mention, and really, I can't believe it's taken this long for a service to do this. They say when the app launches, video will be playing. So honestly, it's just crazy to me that we have all of these video apps in our lives and virtually none of them, except maybe the other free to web ad supported services like Pluto TV, they're the only ones that really start video the minute you start the app. And that's exactly what Peacock is doing, and that's, I really applaud them for doing that. It's a video app, so I want to be watching video.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think that's a great point. One thing just occurred to me, which is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but did they say anything about a download feature being available? Because of course, Disney made a big deal about download capability at the Disney.
As did Apple TV.
As did Apple TV, of course. But did you hear anything about downloading today during the Peacock?
I heard not one whisper. So
that would be out of sync with market expectations if they launched this without downloading.
It certainly would, and yeah, that would be a big hole. And if people want to learn more about that, they should download our report, TV in Your Pocket. It's available at both our websites, so that's free. But yeah, that would be a big hole, Will.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see how that turns out. But a lot to chew on with the Peacock Investor Day today. We'll post the podcast tomorrow, Friday. I'm going to spend some more time trying to do the numbers and get it a little bit more precise, but my sense of things is that that Hulu acquisition would have really been a game changer for them to just put the NBC content in there and maybe even do a Hulu plus NBC tier or something like that with all the news and the Olympics and everything else that maybe would have cost like $8 a month or $9 a month, sort of splitting the difference between the current ad supported versus the current ad free version. But it was good to see them out there today. I thought they did a fantastic job with the presentation. Certainly lots of flashing lights and star talent and everything else.
It certainly was. And I got one question for you, Will. Are you going to download and use it?
Well, I'll certainly download it and try it. I am not going to be a free subscriber because even though I have Xfinity broadband, I don't have the Flex, not the Flex, but the router, whose name I'm spacing out on right now. But you have to have the router in order to, the Comcast router that you have to rent in order to be a qualified broadband subscriber. So I don't have that, so it would mean adding yet another subscription, which we'll see how the family decision making goes on that one.
Yeah, well, I can tell you for sure, I will definitely download it on my devices and give it a good try. There's a lot of interesting content, and I think what will capture me is what will capture many other people, and that's the Olympics.
Absolutely. All right, Colin, good chatting as always. Thanks everybody for listening in on this week's Video News and Screen Media podcast, and we'll see you all again next week.